Mazars HR series. This series has been designed to help you strengthen your skills in most dimensions of the HR function. Episode 1. What is peer coaching about?
Welcome to this series entirely dedicated to the topic of peer coaching. For a long time, being coached meant having a problem that some kind of therapist needed to help you solve. In the last 10 years, this point of view has changed. Having a coach has become a sought-after attribute of great leaders. The key to the professional success of these great leaders is not that they know better than others, is that they learn better than the others. They know how to solicit, sort, and exploit the information and feedback they receive better than others. And this is what they are looking for in coaching. Sounds simple? The reality is that only a few managers can benefit from the support of a professional coach. However, the desire and need of many managers for being coached remains. What we are going to talk about in this podcast is hence how to make every manager have a coach, but also how every manager can be a coach. I'm Jessica Wheaton, Learning and Culture Manager at Mazars. Today, we're talking about peer coaching, more precisely, how to be a good coach for your peers in your organization with our guest, Laurent Chauhin. Laurent has himself been a manager, director of human relations in large organizations, and worked in all kinds of sectors, from higher education to the hotel industry, banking, and today in consulting and auditing as Chief Leadership Education and Culture at Mazars. He is a bit of an entrepreneur, a bit of a teacher, and a bit of a researcher all at the same time. But for 30 years, he has also been coaching executives. Through his different perspectives and experiences, he invites you to become a better manager by becoming yourself a coach for your peers. Together with him, we will explore four themes in four episodes. Episode 1. What is peer coaching? Episode 2. Peer coaching, how to get started. Episode 3. Golden rules of peer coaching. And finally, episode 4. How to organize effective peer coaching sessions. Then make sure you're comfortable and listen all the way through our four episodes. Hi, Laurent. Thanks for joining us. So, please let's clarify the basics. What is actually a coach?
What is actually a coach? Good question. History and popular culture are full of images of what a coach is, actually. From the horse trainer to the prince's advisor, the sports instructor to the shamanic guru, or from the consigliere to the therapist. Actually, not all of these images are particularly flattering, and sometimes it actually ends badly for the coach. The reality is often simpler, at least in the professional world. A coach is rather someone discreet, anxious to stay in the background, and eager to help a professional, often a manager, to cross a behavioral milestone in the context of their individual development. It is not necessarily a question of solving a problem. More often, it is simply to become better, more confident in one's relationship with others, colleagues, teams, a boss maybe. Let's remember one very important idea. A coach is not an advisor. They are more of a companion. It's not that obvious, actually, and it must be the coach's mindset, because sometimes even the coachee themselves ask for and expect advice. It's important to resist giving advice. But for now, let's keep one image in mind. A coach is first and foremost a companion.
Okay, well, I believe everyone can be a companion. So can we be a coach even if it's not our job?
Well, my answer is yes. Coaching as a corporate profession is still quite recent, and therefore its identity is still a little blurry. You often hear about certified coaches, so-called. Coaches who have trained for a long time because the profession seeks to become organized and labeled. However, many coaches have succeeded without having gone through a certifying training. It is, of course, normal that those who have certificates and trained extensively might want that coaching is only delivered by professionals. However, since about 10 years, the aspirations of younger generations, as well as a more humanistic vision of relations in companies, have led to the emergence of new management styles, which are less transactional and much more relational, the so-called manager coach. At the same time, survey results reveal that most managers say that they don't have time to coach their teams, while being convinced themselves that if they had this time they lack, they probably, or no, they certainly would be great coaches. This second statement, in turn, unfortunately, doesn't prove confirmed by the employees when they are surveyed. It results from this situation, actually, where managers are too overwhelmed and professional coaches too expensive to cover marginal needs, that the concept of peer coaching was born. Basically, anyone can coach a peer. In other words, everyone can be a coach. But there are two requirements. The motivation of peers to become coaches and their willingness to professionalize, or at least gradually acquire skills and experience in coaching techniques and methods.
So, if I were to summarize what you've just said, anyone who is motivated and willing to upskill can actually become a peer coach. But in that case, what can we actually expect from peer coaching? What is in it for the coach?
What's in it for the coach? Well, actually, first, peer coaching establishes a symmetry of intentions and positions. There is no hierarchical link, nor a teacher-student relationship. Even though at the beginning people often are skeptical, in most cases, coaching between peers leads to good surprises, the wish to continue the journey together and to develop. Usually, actually, this situation prevails. The second great benefit is the rapid acquisition of behavioral skills that are, by the way, very useful beyond the relationship with the peer concerned. These skills serve, for instance, with customers, clients, but also in private life with friends, family, or loved ones. Finally, but this is not all, most professionals involved in a peer coaching process emphasize the immediate improvement of the management of their team.
Right, okay, I'm convinced. These are all great incentives to start peer coaching. But now, are there also limits to this exercise that you would like to tell us more about?
Yes, actually, there are important limits. I would say there are three. First, there are many expectations that peer coaching cannot cover. For example, all situations of psychological distress, health issues, or still relationship problems outside the professional remit. These issues cannot and should not be subject to peer coaching. They should be treated by certified professionals. Second, experience alone is not enough to acquire coaching behaviors. Training quickly and continuously is hence very important. Finally, coaching between peers must remain pleasant, effective, and useful. And this can be learned, both the state of mind and the practice.
Thank you very much, Laurent, for this very good introduction to peer coaching.
Dear listeners, this is the end of the first episode. Please hold tight for the second one about getting started with peer coaching.